show right here on the Hockey This Week Radio Network, broadcasting live from studios in Los Angeles, California, and in New York City. My name is Paul Cuthbert, manning the board here in New York. It's time to bring the host of our show, Mr. Steve Palumbo. Good evening to you, Stevie. What's it like? What's going on in Cali?
Hello, Paulie. Hello out there. Welcome to another show of the exciting show, the California Hockey Show. I am your host, Steve Palumbo. I am a little tongue-tied right now. I'm still trying to digest what happened last night in Calgary. But, yes, I'm happy to be here. It's a beautiful day. The sun did rise this morning. And the Ducks did not go 16-0 like I had hoped. But another beautiful day here. Paul, let's talk a little bit about what's going on with this series right here. We chatted last week before the series started, and we kind of went into what we thought was going to happen. You were so bold to say the Ducks would win in five, and I was being a little more conservative with six. But I got to be honest with you, after those first two games, I felt sweep all the way. I was a little disappointed that's not going to happen. But, kind of seeing the way the things played out, you got to expect that a team like Calgary was not going to give up. You know, the same thing they did to Vancouver. They're going to kind of play their game, and they were going to make their own breaks and, create their own luck, and that's exactly what they did last night. But before we get into that, Paulie, how's everything going there? How are you feeling? I know your Rangers are trailing in series, but how you doing? How's the weather there in New York?
It's getting nice, buddy. It's a little Cinco de Mayo there yesterday, obviously, and we get into May 6th today, and, I guess you call it baseball weather, or, I guess typically at this time of the year, obviously, NHL playoff weather. But things are looking good, man. The flowers are blooming. I got to find the shorts out of the old shorts box, dust them off and everything. But, we're ready to go, and hopefully I'll be sitting in my shorts watching the Rangers in June. So we'll see what happens. I got a 1-0 lead right now. That's been a very frustrating series to watch as a Rangers fan, just the kind of hockey that's being played. Not so much as far as, the excitement that's going on in Anaheim and Calgary last night, and a little bit more, obviously, in the West there, Minnesota and Chicago with goals being scored galore, not so much in Chicago, Minnesota last night. But definitely in this Anaheim-Calgary series, a credit to the young guys there in Calgary, giving the Ducks there a little bit of a different look last night and actually, doing something that, the Ducks did to the Jets there, coming back late in the game.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, it's funny that both the Ducks and the Calgary are the teams that had the most wins when trailing the third period, so it was only fitting that one of the games at least was going to go that way and happened to come in Calgary in front of the home crowd. And you could kind of see that's the way the game was building up. They jump out to they score in their first shot, the Flames do, and they jump out to that lead. And you kind of think, okay, well, here's a little bit of a sag by the Ducks. But the Ducks just kept responding. They came out, they tied the game up, then they grabbed the lead, started throwing their body around a little bit. But they kind of let Calgary dictate the play a little bit, and I thought that was going to come back to hurt them as that game kind of went on. And you could see it in that last second half of that third period. You could just kind of sense that the Flames had it in them, that the Flames were going to make a push. And then the Ducks started taking all these dumb penalties and opening up the ice. And I think that is what was able to propel the Flames to the win. The Ducks are such a big team. They're so much bigger than the Flames. They were able to pretty much shut down, no points up until that point in the series for the Flames top line. The ice starts opening up. They get the dumb Sammy Vatanen bats the puck out of the air, and then you got the 6-on-4 opportunity for him, and then Johnny Gaudreau or Johnny Clutch or Johnny Gigolo or whatever they're calling him these days comes in and gets that goal to tie it up. I thought the Ducks could still pull it out, but it was the Flames' night. It was the Flames' night, but. I want to jump over to that other Western Conference series because obviously it's going to affect, if the Ducks do move on, it's going to affect, them as we go on. And I know there was I had a little bit of conversation on the social media last night about how the Ducks would match up against a team like the Blackhawks. But in that series, obviously we talked about this before, and I thought that Minnesota had a good chance of beating them. But after you look at the way the series has developed and now, Corey Crawford has come back to be the stud goaltender that he we thought he could be, and you're seeing the dominant scoring ability of some of the top players in Chicago. They're just kind of pushing Minnesota to the side. And you know, it's kind of scary to watch and think, you know, of what the, you know, what the Blackhawks, you know, the kind of skill they possess and what kind of challenges they can present for the Ducks. But when I look at a team like Chicago, and as someone who follows a team like Anaheim or LA or whatever, watching them play right now, if the Ducks were to advance and the Ducks were able to eliminate it, you know, barring another, you know, surprise comeback by the Minnesota Wild or you know, down 3-0, to knock off the Chicago Blackhawks would make this season so much more special. What do you think about that? How do you think that, you know, you're looking at the way the things are starting to come together for the Blackhawks, do you think, you know, are they just coming together at the right time? And is this going to be, you know, I kind of put all the onus on the Rangers winning the Cup. You know, the Rangers having a little trouble scoring right now. But you look at a team like the Blackhawks putting it all together right now, getting the goaltending, getting the scoring. You know, they're scary right now. What do you think of their, you know, their outlook going forward? And you think it's somebody that the Ducks are going to have trouble with when we look forward?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, the word that you're using there, scary, is the right word to use with Chicago. You know, here's a game where Minnesota's actually able to tighten things down a little bit, only allow about 22 shots on goal, and Dubnyk probably, that goal that Kane got. I mean, we brought this up. We've talked about it on other programs here, too. It's the Kane factor. The thing, it's weird. A long time ago, myself and Mike, and I think you were on the program, too, we joked about this, that over the next couple of years, we feel it's going to be Chicago and the Kings would be probably trading Stanley Cups here. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And now with the Kings out of it this year, and you're watching the Chicago team and their superstars, you know, and they're healthy, Steve, and they're playing well. And then, you know, Crawford now is starting to get back into his groove again. And, you know, again, you know, you talk about the stars on Minnesota there. And there's key guys. You know, this is the thing, Steven, just to bounce it off, like even what's going on in New York here too. And, you know, your star players got to play. They got to show up, and especially on the defensive side. For a team like the Rangers, obviously, and then obviously a team like Minnesota here, too, and they're not showing up. But in Chicago, again, that word scary, and that's everybody, even a guy like Kruger last night in defensive zone, face-offs. I mean, everybody on that team, Oduya, Roosevelt, Seabrook, you just go down the line, they're all gelling together, and they're stars, Toews, Hossa, Kane, Sharpie, and Duncan Keith, the best defenseman in the world right now, as far as I'm concerned. It's all lining up. So, I would say I don't see Minnesota coming back in this series. That's not going to happen. And I got to tell you, if the Ducks and when the Ducks do, and they probably want to get this done with Calgary very soon and rest up because they are definitely going to be playing a super stacked, ready and conditioned Coach Q Chicago Blackhawks hockey team.
Yeah, you talk about the, you know, the stars having to perform, and I think that's what separates a team like the Chicago Blackhawks and, you know, a team like Los Angeles and some of the other teams that have gone on runs lately. Their stars produce when it matters the most. You know, the New York Rangers have had good teams over the last several years, but they always seem to have, you know, one of their big guns kind of just, you know, fall flat in his face and ends up coming back to bite them. And right now you've got that coming from Chicago. And to kind of bring it back into Anaheim, you have the same thing going on in Anaheim. You know, you've got a ton of production come from Corey Perry, production and big points coming from Ryan Getzlaff. You got the secondary scoring, which kind of separates the, you know, makes the cream rise to the top. When you get your star scoring and then you got that secondary support, you kind of went through the lineup in Chicago. And you look at a team like Anaheim, and you've got Matt Beleski scoring. He scored a goal in every game this series here. You got Emerson Edom, he's scoring goals. Pat Maroon, all of a sudden look like in a superstar power forward. He's scoring big goals for the team. That's what gives these teams the ability to move forward and continue to truck along in these playoffs. And that's why I do believe that, you know, losing last night was a little bit of a hiccup for the Ducks, but it's something I think needed to happen, and it'll get them refocused as they continue to, you know, the series continues on. It is kind of scary. Calgary does have a little bit of life now, so the Ducks kind of have to watch themselves because things could, just like they did again last season against Los Angeles, they could kind of come back to bite them a little bit. But I'm not feeling, you know, concerned at all. You go back to the way the games 1 and 2 played out. The Ducks used their size. The Ducks used their skill. They got excellent goaltending from Freddie Anderson. They were able to outscore Calgary 9-1 in their own building in the Honda Center. And, you know, you got some goals last night from Calgary, but the Calgary was feeding off the energy from that crowd. And we've talked about those crowds in Canada before, and it was, we saw a little bit of that again last night. It's funny when you're watching the game on TV, you look at the stands and they're all wearing red and it looks like it's empty because it looks like it's just seats because they're all just kind of blanketed out there, you know. But once that, you know, the puck goes in or they make a big play, that place is loud. And I thought you could kind of see Freddie Anderson get a little bit rattled last night after giving up that first goal. He looked a little bit shaky. You know, did you watch the game last night? What were your thoughts on the way that the Ducks kind of responded to a little bit of adversity there? And how do you think they're going to bounce back moving forward?
Well, I think, you know, you talked about it, and I also listened to Coach Cooper from Tampa Bay today. And to use an example of what you're saying, it's okay to lose last night. Obviously, you know the Ducks are playing very well, and I want to bounce back to and get your thoughts here with Freddie Anderson too. And you know, I think these games, to a certain point, you know, you lose a game like that, and they probably, you know, there was that goal, the disallowed goal, the goal that wasn't allowed, I should say, in the game
right.
too as well. I mean, I guess here's what I'll say about Anaheim now. And let's just talk about Gaudreau's tying goal. And I think in itself, and getting back to what Cooper said, he was talking about Ben Bishop in the first the seven-game series against Detroit, right? And he talked about every different game. He had to play different games coming from behind, you know, with the lead, you know, the pressure on him, against him, home win and loss. And he said by the time he got to Game 7, Ben Bishop was a rock star, and he said it set him up for, you know, how they're doing right now against Montreal. So that was a great example. And you almost take, and we talked about it too, about Freddie Anderson here against the Jets, and they will pretty much all come from behind, you know, wins. So Freddie had to, you know, it's playoff hockey for him, and he has to get used to, you know, keeping the team into it. And he did very well with that. And then, again, the big stars that we talk about came through and won the series here for the Ducks. So you take a game like that, it's the next round. It's that next level of pressure. It's a new building because they hadn't played Calgary in so long, and it's a playoff and the Sea of Red, which you talk about. So and maybe the goals that we were scored against, we can't do anything about the screen in the overtime, Stevie, but that Gaudreau goal, he probably should have stopped, even though it clipped off his shoulder. But, you know, I don't think the Ducks should really be too concerned about it. And I think, if anything, like you were just talking about before, trying to match up against Chicago, I mean, you know, Anderson and the rest of these guys, I mean, that's going to be two trains colliding. But he has, you know, he ain't seen nothing yet. You still got to win two more games here against Calgary. But, you know, you take that experience last night. Maybe, Steve, it brings these guys back down to reality a little bit. You get the dust off, you come back. Go ahead.
I'm glad you said that, because that was one of the dialogue exchanges I was having last night. Was you talk about, you know, someone like Freddie Anderson, and, you know, he's been the focal point of, you know, a lot of our discussions and how he's going to handle the situation and being the number one guy. And I personally believe that the longer the win streak went on, where the Ducks went through the playoffs without losing, the more he was starting to feel the burden of that streak. And I thought last night that really came to fruition in his jittery play. And personally, losing a game at this time kind of takes the air out of them. They can kind of take a deep breath, especially Freddie, kind of get back to his game, reground himself, refocus, not worried about going undefeated, which, you know, whether that was a reality or not, I have to believe that that kind of played a little bit of a role in the way that he performed last night. And you look at Johnny Gaudreau's goal, and it was one of those seeing eye shots. It got through at just the right time, obviously a huge goal. But in a situation where Freddie, in the first couple games or even in the Winnipeg series, when he had to make the big save, those were the ones he wasn't letting through. He was, you know, his body was square to the shooter. He was covering up all the holes. Nothing was getting through. And last night was just one of those games where the puck just kind of found a way past him. But I think this gives him the opportunity. It gives the Ducks an opportunity to kind of, you know, look in the mirror and say, hey, we're not unbeatable. We got to keep doing what got us to this point. You know, our forecheck, we got to be aggressive on the puck. We got to be responsible on our own end. We got to get, you know, got bodies in front of the net and create our opportunities, because this is still the National Hockey League. This is these teams, no matter what their record was in the regular season or anything, they, you know, anybody could win. Just like they say in football, on any given Sunday, on any given day, especially in the NHL playoffs, anybody could win. So the loss came at the right time, and I think it's going to help this team take another step in the right direction as we move forward, you know, potentially to a next round.
Yeah, and I think,
go
ahead, Steve. I was just going to say real quick, I mean, I agree with you, and I think, you know, this is this is the process of it, you know, in terms of NHL players. And you got a lot of young guys. I mean, even flip it on Calgary's side, and, you know, even the Islanders back here before they got night. These are all young guys. These are all going through it and stuff. And you got different guys on this Anaheim squad here, too, that are playing recent acquisitions and Kessler and everything else. And obviously, the mantle being handled here to Freddie Anderson as a number one goaltender in the greatest hockey league in the world, on one of the top four or five teams, and obviously the top one in the top eight right now in the world. So it's an incredible amount of pressure. And the other thing, too, is, Steven, get your thoughts on this, too, where you're going. But, you know, they get a couple of days off here before the next game, too, and they can think about this and bounce back.
Yeah, you know, I like the fact that they're going to get a couple of days off. They can kind of, you know, go back to the drawing board. And I think this gives Coach Boudreau an opportunity to kind of go back, watch the film, and go over some of those things, especially with his young defensemen. You know, those guys, they're seasoned. They've been in the NHL, you know, a couple seasons. You know, Cam Fowler's been in the NHL 5 seasons now. But these guys are all sub-25 years old. You're talking 22, 23 years old. Sammy Vatanen made to get his team shorthanded was an ill-advised, basically a rookie mistake, batting the puck out of there. I understand what he was trying to do, but it was just not the right time for it. But it gives Coach Boudreau an opportunity to go back, go with his players one-on-one, maybe veterans talk to some of these young players, a guy like Francois Beauchemin, who's a rock back there, and kind of say, look, this is what you need to do in that situation. This is what you should do with the puck. And, you know, this is, you know, just kind of give them an opportunity to kind of move past it. Because you could see right after that happened, Vatanen's head dropped. And after the overtime goal, you know, I could see he was kind of feeling the pressure of that. But this gives them an opportunity to kind of say, hey, man, let's move forward. You know, you're one of the guys that got us here. And let's refocus our game. We still got this. We're still up. We still got home ice advantage. And, you know, these guys, it's crazy because, you know, these guys are essentially still kids playing, like you said, in the greatest hockey league in the world. You know, when I was 23 years old, I wasn't thinking about anything quite this dramatic or doing anything like that. So you kind of feel for them. And, you know, these guys are professionals. They'll be able to bounce back. But they're young. There's young players in the Ducks, and there's young players on the Calgary Flames. And I'm just impressed with the way these guys have been handling themselves on both sides. You know, not getting too, you know, overly frazzled or, you know, kind of keeping their composure, especially, you know, trailing last night to see the way Calgary was able to bounce back and, you know, win a big game for them. So it's a fun time. This is when these guys become, you know, go from boys to men, speak from an also-ran to a championship caliber team. And I think, you know, all these lessons that they're learning now is only going to help the Ducks as they continue to move forward towards trying to bring the cup here back to the Orange County area and leaving it, you know, forgetting about LA. So
forgetting about LA, huh? You're already a distant memory. You're terrible.
Hey, you know, it's funny. You watch the way on social media, the way the Sharks and the Kings, you know, both at home, they got their social media accounts still going, but the way they kind of, you know, give the Ducks a hard time, but it's all in good fun. And, you know, they might be giving them publicly a hard time, but this is still a California market. And it's always good to see a local team do well, even if they are some of your biggest rivals. So
I want to ask you this, Steve, if you don't mind, before you head on to the next subject here, just real quick on the Flames here. What are your thoughts here on Cary Romo getting into the series here? And the job he's done even last night.
You know, that I wanted to talk about that because we had addressed the Hiller storyline and what it was like for him to face his team. And, you know, one of the things that plagued Jonas Hiller in Anaheim was his inability to win big games, to kind of block distractions out and stay focused. And I think facing his own team, playing in a building that he honed his skills in, he couldn't handle the pressure. And Cary Romo comes in and he's been solid for them. He's you know, he's played well. He's kept him in the games. Obviously, he kept him in last night, and they were able to win. You know, you look at the play a couple minutes into overtime. You have Ryan Getzlaf bearing in on you, and he just comes up with this tremendous save to save the, you know, to preserve the game there and give his team the opportunity to come back. That was a big league play right there. The Ducks came out flying in overtime after having that goal scored on him late. He was able to you know, regroup his team, get the big save so they could come back and score. So I give my, you know, I give him all the props in the world coming into this situation, it's obviously a tough situation, a high-flying team like the Ducks, and he's been able to play pretty well and, you know, given his team an opportunity to win every night, even in game two when they, you know, they got shut out, but he was still given an opportunity to at least be in that game.
Absolutely.
I don't think we'll see Jonas again, that's for sure, unless Kari gets lit up. But I just don't see the way that, you know, the way he's playing right now. That we don't. I don't see another 6-1 score coming in this series.
Poor Jonas.
I want to talk about one thing that you know, we talk about special teams and how important they are. You know, up until that huge goal late in the game, the Ducks have done a pretty good job of. Well, they've done a great job. Calgary didn't have any power play goals. And, you know, one of the things I was keen in last night was kind of watching the way the Ducks use their penalty kill. And you just – when a guy like Andrew Cogliano is on the ice, you cannot take your eyes off of him. The guy is lightning quick, and the guy is out there disrupting, wreaking havoc out there, making plays, using his speed to pinch in on the defense and force them to turn the puck over. And – whenever you look at a championship team, and I truly think the Ducks are a championship team, you have to look at each player and how they fit in their role, in the system. And the way that guy and Jakob Silverberg, to an extent too, the way that they kill penalties and they put pressure on the opponent, especially the defenseman, with their unique skills, whether it's speed or their stick or whatever, I think that definitely gives the Ducks an edge when they go, you know, when they're playing their opponent. I just couldn't take my eyes off of that guy last night, flying up the ice and making things happen. It just seemed like he was all over the place. And, it, you know, it's a shame that a power play goal was what cost him the game. But he's made a huge difference on their penalty kill. And you know, that's somebody who deserves credit, you know, for the Ducks' success. Even if he's not putting a bunch of points up on the board, it's those little things like that are, you know, helping his team out.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, Steve. And again, you know, this gets back into the whole process here. And, you know, if anything, you know, if and when they do advance against Calgary, you take a game like this and, you know, the experience that they have and the, you know, whatever mistakes are made. And Getzlaff was talking about it, too. And, you know, again, you know, Getzlaff and Perry have just been unbelievable as well. You know, in the series, continuing things on here. But, you know, this is just another part of it. So, I mean, if like I said, if they do advance, they can look back in this game. And, again, it heightens all their senses, right, Steve? I mean, again, this is what we were talking about earlier. It's getting to the next level. And sometimes, again, getting brought back down to reality. And you can't play perfect all the time. And the Ducks are very close to that right now.
Yeah, especially those first two games. They looked unbelievable. It was basically men versus boys. And, you know, the Ducks were throwing their weight around there. Unbelievable in the faceoff circle. You talk about Ryan Kessler or playoff Ryan Kessler, and he's just been a rock in the dot. You know, winning huge faceoffs for them. He's been you know, unable to – you couldn't get him off his feet. He's making things happen. But the way, you know, his ability to win faceoffs has been crucial to the Ducks' success. But I think for Anaheim to be successful and to be able to get back on track, they're going to have to go back to throwing their body around. You know, they can't let a little team like Calgary out hit them like they did last night. They got to get in there, use that aggressive forecheck. That's what makes, you know, Corey Perry, Ryan Getzlaff, and that Patrick Maroon line so darn hard to defend, is they get in there and you can't push them off the puck. And they seem to have the sixth sense and know where each other is. And they use the boards well to pass the puck off and, you know, keen in on what Ryan Getzlaff does. And he comes in and he comes in and assists his teammates at the right time when they need him to loosen up that puck, free him up so they can get another scoring opportunity. You know, if Anaheim wants to, you know, get themselves back into the win column, they've got to go back to that game plan, use their size, use their skill. They are the better team. Go back to you know, that what they did in game one and game two to kind of get them to where they are now. And what got them, you know, past the Winnipeg Jets? They started playing that cycle and that aggressive forecheck to kind of get themselves back in the game.
No, I agree with you there, Steve. No doubt about it. I agree with you there, pal.
One thing that I was curious about was for someone on the East Coast, if you'd even heard about this, you know, the Ducks didn't sell out game two. And I know that was kind of getting a little bit of run, especially from some of the Ducks' biggest rivals. I don't know if that was anything that you had heard about in the East Coast or if anyone's making a big deal about it or just something they're talking about here. kind of give me, what is your perspective of somebody living in one of the greatest sports markets in the world in New York when you hear a team like the Anaheim Ducks cannot sell out a playoff game being as dominant as they are?
Well, you know, look, there's a lot of factors there. I'm not going to turn around and dog the Anaheim Duck fans. Their support out there has been incredible. I mean, you know, these days in terms of what's been going on in California as a state, there's bigger issues whether or not they're a few thousand short for a sellout game. But you know, the other thing too is Steve too is a lot of people don't realize, and anybody up in Canada who just live in a hockey only market. I mean, with you know, baseball going on right now, and you know, even the NFL draft down here in the States on a game night will take people away from watching games or going to games too. It's huge. I mean, it's just a different beast down here. So, you know, what are you going to do there, Steve? I mean, they're short a few, you know, a couple of thousand people. I don't think it's a big deal. I'm sure, you know, there's a long run here. Maybe the fans like, the Ducks got this. We'll wait for the Chicago series. You know, who knows what it is? You can't sit there for anybody to dog, you know, they're not getting to a sellout. And when you match what they probably did the whole season long in terms of the numbers compared to some of the other cities in the States, who are in Central and East Coast hockey markets, you know, or North or Midwest, the Ducks fans have nothing to hang their head about. So there wasn't much of a deal made back over here, so that might have just been those local teams, you know, digging the Ducks for anything they can right now because they're not involved, San Jose, L.A. Kings. So, I mean, you know, shut up, sit back, and, you know, that'll be all right because, believe me, that next series coming up, and like I said, no disrespect to Calgary, they still got a lot of work to do to finish things out. I don't think it's a big deal at all here. And just to you know, to say it on the East Coast side of it, I mean, Ranger fans have been doing that to Devils and Islanders fans for years, but it's a different beast. The Rangers are a generational team, been around since the 1900s, and even still, the Devils, you know, the Islanders have just about the same amount of cups. So it's all BS to me.
Well, good. I wanted to feel better about it by hearing an East Coast perspective. So I didn't think it was that big of a deal. I mean, it's been the weather's been ridiculous here. You got the Dodgers, you got the Angels, you got the Clippers advancing. So there's a lot of things going on here that can distract people. And I know, you know, a lot of the just because they don't go to the games doesn't mean there's not a solid fan base here, because some of the viewing parties and some of the, you know, watching the game on TV and the things people put together are, you know, sometimes better than the actually going to the game. And obviously they're a lot less expensive, but yeah, I wouldn't worry too much about it. I know people were kind of giving, you know, Ducks fans a hard time, but it's definitely not something that I worry about too much. I just wanted to kind of get your perspective on it. But hey, Paul, guess what?
Go ahead, buddy.
I was going to tell you that we're just about out of time here, but you got something to say before we wrap it up here?
Well, I just want to get your thoughts. You know, McClellan's coaching the U.S. team over. The Canadian team, the U.S. team.
Canadian team,
yeah, over in the Worlds there. I know they were struggling against Sweden today, but rumor has it that he was interviewed for the Edmonton Oilers job while he's over there. So that was something I was just kind of curious to get your thoughts on that, and just the thought of him being there with Chiarelli possibly and in Edmonton, and with the prospect of a guy like McDavid coming in there, you know, next season possibly.
I think it'd be a tremendous hire for them. You know, obviously there's a lot of good things happening in Edmonton. They got a heck of a guy for their GM, and to bring someone like McClellan in as their head coach, I mean, you're looking at, you know, potentially a team going from a lottery team to going to perennial playoff power, which, you know, we haven't seen in decades from that city. But, you know, I like the direction that Edmonton, because they're drawing their hand right now on their side. So I think McClellan would be a heck of a coach. I think he would do a great job with a lot of their young players there. And I think with him and Chiarelli there, they could build, you know, a competitive team, if not next season, within the next couple seasons. So that would be interesting to see how that develops. And it'll be funny to see how the San Jose faithful respond when Edmonton's in the playoffs and they're sitting home in the spring watching their ex-coach lead another team into the playoffs. So, I think that would be a great hire for them, and it'd be fun to watch. So we'll see what happens. He's doing a job right now, so he might be a little focused on that. We'll see what happens when the tournament's over.
Absolutely. Well, Steve, that'll keep him out here on the West Coast. So why don't you give everybody your thoughts here on Game 4 coming up, and send us home, Stevie.
Game 4 Looking forward to it. I think, like I mentioned earlier, the Ducks got to get back to their basics, couple days off, look back at the game film and see, you know, what they did wrong. They definitely have to keep their composure, stay out of the freaking penalty box, and play disciplined hockey and just keep doing what they're doing. Calgary does not match up well against them. Little bump in the road, but I still think they win the series in five. Just like you said, I knocked one off mine, so I'll go with you with five. But, hey, that's it for another episode of the California Hockey Show. It's been a lot of fun. As always, you can catch me on Twitter at Steve Palumbo, HTW. That's at Steve Palumbo, HTW. Any old episodes of the Hockey This Week show, or on any Hockey This Week show, like the California Hockey Show or many of the other shows that we have, you can go to htw2.com to catch the archives. That's htw2.com. Paulie, that's it from sunny Southern California. Talk to you next week, buddy. Have a good night.
All right, you got it, too. Great job there, Stevie. Take care, buddy. You've been listening to the California Hockey Show right here on the Hockey This Week radio network. Again, for all archives and future shows, keep it here at htw2.com.